Since we got up from Kairos on the afternoon hour from the base by the Mishnah. Mishnah starts off Haprona, Leitok Pishnaim, Vinichsei Ha'av. Then in Leitok Pishnaim, Vinichsei Ha'ein. Pishnaim is a Pasuk in Chumash. It's a Prohibit as Noah Yaakov, not a Slope Pishnaim. The Chazal had a tradition. Pishnaim doesn't mean two-thirds. Pishnaim means as if he were two children. Let's say if the father dies and he has two sons, one is a Bchor, one is a Pashut, so the Bchor gets two-thirds and the Pashut gets one-third. But if he leaves 10 sons, the Bchor doesn't get two-thirds. The Bchor gets two-elevenths. You treat the Bchor as if he were two children and he has 10 children, so one is two. The Bchor is considered like this. So you count it as if he has 11 children. Bchor gets 2/11. That's the Gemara's tradition. The conservatives, I think we mentioned, the conservatives have a whole interpretation that originally the din was that a Bchor gets 2/3. And let's say if the person has 10 sons, Bchor's going to get 2/3. And then the 1/3 is going to be divided among the 9 children. That's going to be terrible. So the rabbis changed it in the later generation because they thought that it wasn't fair. So just like the rabbis then had the right to change the laws if they felt it's not fair, so we today are the rabbis and we have the right to change all the laws that we feel are not fair. Yeah, well, why did they get this habamina that Pishnai means two-thirds? Because Elisha was walking with Eliyahu HaNavi, and Eliyahu HaNavi said he's going to go up in a fiery chariot to heaven. So Elisha made a request. He wanted to have Pishnaim Beruchacha. So Eliyahu HaNavi said, he gives him a bracha, and he told Elisha, if you will see me go up in the fiery chariot and you won't faint, then the bracha will be fulfilled, and you have Pishnaim. And if you'll also faint, like the other Talmidim, the other Dvei Hanavim, Bnei Hanavim, it says in Tanakh that they all fainted, and Eliyahu HaNavi went up in the fiery chariot, then the bracha will not be fulfilled. So the conservatives interpreted Elisha had the chutzpah to ask for the double, twice the koach hanavua of Eliyahu HaNavi. That's a chutzpah. He must have asked for 2/3 the koach hanavua. Didn't ask for it. So that's how they got this havamina, and that's where they got this crooked interpretation that Pishnai means 2/3, and the rabbis changed it. Just like they felt free to change it, so we are rabbis, we should feel free to change whatever we want to change. The Chazal had tradition, Pishnai means twice the Koach HaNavuah. That Eliyahu HaNavi was only Mechaya one mason, Elisha was Mechaya two mason. And Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolius interprets that was what Eliyahu HaNavi told Elisha. He told him, you want to have twice the Koach HaNavuah that I have. So it depends. I don't know, is your Koach HaNavuah nimshach from me? Or do you have an independent Koach HaNavuah? If your Koach HaNavuah is nimshach from me, then you can't have twice as much. You can't have more than I have. I can't give you more than I have. Unless you have a direct line to heaven, you have your own Koach HaNavuah. So that's what he said. If you're going to faint, like all the other Talmid HaNavim, all the other Bnei HaNavim fainted, well, you all know he went up to heaven, so that's an indication that their Koach HaNavuah is Nimsha from Elio. So he says, if you're going to faint also, means that your Koach HaNavuah is from me, so then you can have more than I have. But if you won't faint, that's an indication that you have a direct Koach HaNavuah, not Nimsha from me. Like when Moshe Rabbeinu chose the Shivim Zekenim. So it says, Vayatsu min HaRuach HaShir Alov, that the Ruach HaNavuah that Moshe Rabbeinu had was Chal on the Shilim Hazakim. But all the Megdom was standing in Mamachana independently of Moshe Rabbeinu. Their Koach HaNavuah was not Nimshach Moshe Rabbeinu. They had their own pipeline to heaven. That's why Berfaim Zalman Margolius interpreted. That's how the Chazal interpreted. That Pishnaim doesn't mean 2/3, means a double portion. And Elisha was taki asking for twice the Koach HaNavuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. So of Eliyahu HaNavi. So the Mishnah has the pasuk has the din of Pishnaim. So the din is the Bchor only gets Pishnaim if he's yarshining the father, if he's yarshining the mother, the Gemara learns it out from a pasuk. The Gemara says on the top of Nun Beis and Aleph on the third line, my taima, how do you know that there's no pishnayim by Yerusha Sarim? It says, lo mishpat ha-bchor, mishpat ha-bchor le-ish, my mishpat ha-bchor le-isha. A pasuk. We, last week, I think we explained it a little bit, that the Menachas Chinuch explains very well that there are two different dinim. There's a din of Yerusha, there's a din of Kom Tachtov. So Yerusha, Yerusha is only on money. Yerusha is on a chosin. Let's say, Aben Kom Tachasodiv, the Loshan HaGemar in Perek Yeshnechlen, and other Masechtas in Erechen, Aben Kom Tachasodiv Liyud, Liyahado. It says in this week's Sedra, if you purchase an Amayriya, so there's a din of Yud. The Odon can be Mekadisha, can be Miyai, the Amayriya. And if he doesn't want him, if there's an age gap and it doesn't make sense that the Odon should be Miyai, so it says, there's Yud HaBein. So Yud HaBein is a din of Yerusha. There's no din of Yerusha, the father's still alive. It's not a Yerusha, it's in Mominus. Yerusha and Nechasim, the Mominus that the father had. Here, he's not Yarshining the schus to do Yud. So then, HaBein kam tachasaviv liyud, l'stei achuza also. It's not a din of Yerusha. Or let's say, HaBein megalech ha-nazir ha-saviv, it's halach le-moshe m'sinai. The father is a Nazir and the son was a Nazir. So the father was Mafrish Karbonis to bring at the end of the Zman HaNaziris. The father died. So the Mishnah has in Nazir, and we assume like Rabbi Yechanan, that it's Halacha Moshe Mesinai, Abim Megaleach HaNaziris. That's not a din of Yerusha. The father was Mafrish to Karbonis for his Naziris. So Halacha Moshe Mesinai says, the son is also a Nazir. So he could be Yotze with the Karbonis. Let's say, father was mafresh a korban for whatever, achatas, for eating chalev. And the son also ate chalev together with the father. And the father dies, the son can be makir of the father's korban for his avera. No. The korban was hufesh for the father's avera. The son has to be mafresh his own korban for his avera. He's aloha moshe mesina that habay megalech on the zira soviv. The son can be yoitzel with the father's korban. The father was mafresh for his nazirs. So that's a din habayim kam tachasovim. Gemara is a whole list of dinim. So the pasuk says by Yerusha mimishpachta v'yorashoisa. So the Gemara establishes based on the pasuk in the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar, beginning of Parshas Bamidbar, when they were instructed to take a census of Bnei Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu had a count of mishpachoisam leveisavoisam, and the Gemara has the comment mishpachasav kriy mishpacha, mishpachasayim ene kriy mishpacha. So by Yerusha it says mimishpachta v'yorashoisa. Yerusha only goes the two halushemis of Kurva. It's also the Menchas Chinuch has. Rav Soloveitchik said it over from the Menchas Chinuch. There's a din of Sher Basar, and there's a din of Mishpacha. So Mishpacha, Sher Basar, it says, Ish Ish, Al Sher Basar, La Sikavu, La Galas Erva, Arayas, the prohibited marriages, because of Kurva, because they're relatives, some of them on the father's side, some of them on the mother's side. So that's why the Chumash uses the expression, Ishi shall call Sher B'sar la Sikavu la Gala Servo. Sher B'sar applies both to the father's side and the mother's side. Mishpacha is a Chalashem Kurva that only applies Mishpacha Sav Kriy Mishpacha. Mishpacha Sav Eni Kriy Mishpacha. That's the Pasuk. One of the first Psukim in Parshas Bamidbar. The Mishpacha Isam Levei Sav Isam. So Pishnaim is a detail within the Din of Yerusha. So son is related to the father, as son Yarsh is the father. That's Mishpacha. Mishpacha Sav. Son is related to the mother, not through the father. He's related to it through the mother. He's directly related. It's not that it's his father's wife's son. He's the mother's son. The Yarshan is the mother because he's related to the mother. So Mishpacha Sein is not called Mishpacha. So Ben Yerusha Simai is not based on Hilchas Yerusha. It's based on Kom Tachtov. So the din of Bechor getting Pishnayim, that's a din in Yerusha. He gets Pishnayim. If it's din of Kom Tachtov, there's no din of Pishnayim. The Gemara has a discussion of this. Let's say that din habein megaleach al nazir asav. Let's say a man was a nazir and he was mafrish karbanis and he died before he had a chance to bring to karbanis. He didn't complete this. Let's say he said he's a nazir for 5 years. He dies in the middle of, before the end of the 5 years and he already set aside karbanis. So let's say he has two sons who are nazirim. What if one of them is a Bchor? Is the Bchor entitled to Pishnayim? In the Pashto should be, he should not be entitled to Pishnayim. But this is not a din of Yerusha. It's a din of Ben Kom Tachasaviv. Whenever it's a din of Kom Tachtov, there's no din of, he's not more Kom Tachtov than the other children. All the children are Kom Tachasav to the same extent. And Yerusha, the Bchor gets as if he were two children, Pishnayim. So that's the pasuk. There's no din of pishnayim by Yerusha Sarim. Then the din is in a notal beroy ke ba muchzak. So the Gemara says, what's the real example of beroy ke ba muchzak? The Gemara has on the top of nun beis on beis on the third line. Below beroy ke ba muchzak, the poor God doesn't get pishnayim. The Gemara says, lasuyim nechse da avi abba. He's like this. Let's say Abba Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. Avraham is the grandfather, Yitzchok is the son, Yaakov is the grandson. So let's say, this is not the way it happened. Let's say Yitzchok Avina dies before Avraham. Each one is a multimillionaire. So let's say Avraham Avinu, Yitzchok dies before Avraham Avinu, and Yitzchok has a lot of money, and he has two sons, Yaakov and Esav. Let's say, for argument's sake, Yaakov is a Bchor, and Esav is the Pashut. Sure, we'll just use the names. It doesn't correspond to the reality. So let's say Yaakov is the Bchor and Esav is the Pashut. So Yaakov is entitled to Pishnayim in the assets that Yitzchak possessed at the time that he died. But after Yitzchak dies, then Avraham Avinu dies, let's say, after him. That's not the way it happened. But if it would have been like that, so then we say Yitzchak is Yorish Bekever. That's the Gemara's terminology. Yitzchak Yarshins Avraham Avinu Bekev. Yitzchak died already. He predeceased Avraham. But the Yarshins Bekev Alahanchel Abonav. So whatever he Yarshins, millions of dollars he Yarshins from Avraham Avinu, to pass on to his children, Bekever, he can't take it with you. He's buried already. Yitzchak is dead already. So what do you mean he Yarshins Avraham? He's Yarish Bekev Alahanchel Abonav. It goes to his children. But since he didn't possess those millions during his lifetime, so Yaakov does not get Pishnayim. That's Beroi Kibba Muchzak. When Yitzchak Avinu died, he didn't yet possess Nichse Avi Abba. He didn't have that. He didn't have those assets yet. But let's say Yitzchak bought a lottery ticket, and the drawing of the lottery was after Yitzchak died. They draw the lottery, and Yitzchak wins. So Yitzchak, I don't know what the din of the Machusa is, but let's say Api Pashtus, Yitzchak wins the lottery, so the money goes to his children. But he didn't have that money. He didn't win the lottery until after he died. So the Yaakov Avinu will not get Pishnayim in that money that he gets from the lottery. Whatever Yitzchak is Yorish Bekever was Roi. It's not called Muchzak. The Gemara quotes on Amid Aleph, and then based on Amid Aleph, the Gemara quotes twice the Pasuk. As a proben astur yakev lasel pishnayim b'chol ha-she-yimotzi-lo b'muchzak. Whatever is Ra'ui, the father didn't have those assets at the moment of death. That's called Ra'ui. So the son, the Bchor, is not entitled to Pishnayim. Tosfos here has long discussions. Tosfos has, there is a machlokes hatanoim, Rebbe and Chachamim in Perek Yesh Nechlin. There is a machlokes hatanoim. What if Yitzchak had a lot of money, and he lent out the money to many people. And he didn't collect the money till after he died. So as a halvor, a milver, the father had a lot of cash. He had the assets. He lent it to other people, so they owe him the money. But he doesn't collect the money till after he dies. So is the Bchor entitled to Pishnayim on that money or not? The Gemara says, that's a machlokes Rebbe and a Chachamim. And the Gemara Paskins, here you take a look in the Tosfos on Nun Aleph on the base. Iba Masa v'lo b'roik iba muchsa. The Tosfos says, b'perik yesh nechlem paskinon. There's a machlekes hatanoim. And we paskin la'aloche hilchaso. And we paskin bottom line. En apchanotel pishnayim b'milve. Ben shigo v'karka ben shigo v'mois. The Gemara has a machlekes. Maybe it should depend whether the Yorshim collected karka. The Gemara says it doesn't make a difference. We assume that a halvoa is considered ra'ui. The father owned the money in the past, then he lent it out to other people, and he owns the chayiv, he owns the debt. But when he collects the money, that's not the same as the debt. The money was collected after he died. They're going to make a chalukah in the money. They're not going to make a chalukah in the debt. That's the Ksois quote, such a Chilas HaRashba. A chov is a non-tangible thing. Somebody owes me money. I lent $1,000. He owes me money. Chov is not a tangible thing. If you have karka, you have metaltalim, that's a tangible thing, so you can make a chalukah on that. I'll take a half a field, you'll take a half a field. The father left two hotels, and both hotels are equal in value. I'll take one hotel, you'll take one hotel. But a chov is a non-tangible object, so you can't make a chalukah on that. The Pchor is only entitled Pishnayim when they make the chalukah. So they can't make the chalukah on the chov. They have to make the chalukah on the cash. And the cash is the father didn't have the cash at the time that he died. He had the chov, but he didn't have the cash. So that's how we paskin. A Pchor doesn't get Pishnayim in a halvoah that was only collected after the father died, because that's called Ro'i. That's a machlekes hatanaim. And we pass on that's called Ro'i. Yeah. That's the shaila we discussed. Let's say the father died, he has money in a bank account. So if you have money in a safe deposit vault, that's a pikabu. So the money is sitting there. Whatever you have, diamonds or precious, valuable things in a safe deposit vault. So that's a pikodin. So the pikodin, the father had it. He can pick it up anytime he wants. But if you have money in a savings account or you have government bonds, so you lend money to the bank and the bank is investing it and they're paying you interest. But that's a halvoah. Well, let's say you bought government bonds, so you're lending money to the government. So the government is going to pay you back. So that's a halvoah. So the pashtus is that the pchor should not be entitled to pishnayim on the money in the savings account or the bonds, government bonds or bonds for companies, because that's a halvoah. Halvoah, you don't get pishnayim. Yeah, there is a machloikas in the Rebbe Yehuda and the shoyol and the tshuva is in the Rebbe Yehuda. So the shoyol was a tough. This tshuva happens to be the shoyol was a Tam Chacham, I forgot the name. And he raised the possibility, maybe if the bank is federally insured, maybe that should be considered like mukhsar. Why? Because the Gemara has a suggestion that a halvoya is considered ra'oi, the pchor is not entitled to shnayim. Maybe it depends. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. Maybe it should depend whether the money was lent to a Jew, the money was lent to a nochri. Which direction should it depend? So that we don't pass like that, but that was one opinion in the Gemara. It depends whether you lent the money to Yisrael or a nochri. So the Rashbam learns on Yesh Nechlin. There's no Rashi, there's Rashbam. So the Rashbam learns, if the money was lent to Israel, so it's more likely that you're probably going to get paid back the money. So there's room to say that that should be considered mukhsak. But if you lent the money to a nachri, ashapim di boshavi, min shoker, so you can't trust the nachri, so it's more likely that you'll never collect the money. So maybe if it's likely that you will collect it, then maybe it's called mukhsak. If it's likely you won't collect it, then it's called ra'i. So the Gemara rejects that. So the Shoyl and the Tshuva Snadi Behuda understood that so the Rashbam quotes another pshat, just the opposite. If you lent the money to a Nachri, then you're more secure that you're going to collect it. If you lent the money to Yisrael, you're less secure. So Rashbam said, how can that be? The Yisrael is more questionable. So the Yosamech explains that girsa. The Rashbam doesn't like it. Yosemech explains it because some of the Goyim had that interpretation in the Gemara. So he explains that if Yisrael owes money and he's broke, he doesn't have money to pay, you can't sell him as an Eved Ivri. It says, the only time you have a right to sell a person as an Eved Ivri is if he stole money, a Gneva, a Gzela, not only a Gneva, and only for the Keren, not for the Kepon. So let's say he borrowed money and he doesn't have money to pay back. He gambled away all the money. So you have no right to sell him as an eved to pay up all the money. But by Nochrim, the din by the Nochrim is that if a person doesn't pay the debt, you sell him as an eved. So by Nochrim, there's literally a shibud aguf. You can sell a person as an eved. That's how some say a melitza. You can sell a person as an eved if he doesn't pay back the money. So you, in a certain sense, you're more secure of getting paid back the money if you lend to a Nachor than if you lend to Israel. Whichever direction, the Gemara said that there was an opinion that whether the loan is considered muchzik or ra'oi, it's a machlokes hatanoim, whether milva is called royam, whether the b'chor gets pishnaim. And there was one opinion in the Gemara that it depends. Whether you lent the money to Yisrael, lent the money to the Nochri, if you're more secure of collecting it, then it's muchzak, and if you're not so that secure, then it's called roy. So that's rejected in the Gemara. So the Shoyal and the Jewish Nadi Yehuda thought, but if the bank is government, is federally insured, or I lent the money to the government, it's a government bond, not a company, a government bond. So unless the government is going to go bankrupt, unless the government is going to collapse. How often does that happen, that a government collapses and doesn't pay all the debts, doesn't pay all the money? So if it's a government-insured bank, then it should be a svara that it should be muksa. So the Navi Yehuda says, a very short tshuva, I think it's only one paragraph, he thinks it's not correct. Once the Gemara rejected that svara to distinguish between whether the loiv is a Yisrael or loiv is a Nochri, so it's rejected and you forget about that svara. It doesn't matter how secure you are about collecting. And the Hezbollah is like we said before, that the Ksar Sachoshin quoted from the Chuvah Sarashba, that you can't make a chaluka on a chov. You can only make a chaluka on a tangible object, on karka, on the talplim. A big field, karka, I'll take one half, you'll take one half. Or the talplim, the father died, he left the library, so I'll take half the library, you'll take half the library. He left furniture, he left two hotels, he left 24 hotels. They're all equal in value, so I'll take 12 hotels, you'll take 12 hotels, fine. You can make a chaluka on tangible things. You can't make a chaluka on a chov. So when can you begin to make the chaluka? After the father died and they collected the cash, so the cash is tangible. So that cash the father didn't have during his lifetime. He had cash originally, but he lent to the loiva. Then when the loiva gives back the cash, you can't make chaluka on the chov. You can only make chaluka on the cash he didn't have during his life. So that's what we assume that the... So the Nadi Yehuda says, once you give, he doesn't give the Hezbollah, he just says, the Gemara rejected that svara, that there should be a difference about how secure you are about collecting the chayv. It's interesting, Dor HaShulchan and Chosh and Rishpa thinks we should pass them like the Shoyal. And whenever the bank is federally insured, or if you took out a government bond, so it's backed by the government, so that's extremely secure. That's better than if the loiv is a Yisrael or a Nachri, the government backs it. So that's more secure. So the Rosh Hashulchan thinks we should pass on like the Shoyal. And a quote from Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, that he was of the opinion that in New York, in the United States, if you have money in a savings account, you walk in any day, unless you have $5 million and you come and you say you want cash. So the bank is not mechuyev to hold $5 million in cash that day you walk into the bank. But if it's a reasonable amount of money, you come and you want $2,000 in cash, they'll probably give you the $2,000 on the spot. They'll give you all the money. So Moshe was of the opinion that since today you can go into the bank, you can ask him for all of the money in the savings account, even though it's a halvoya. So it's easy to collect it, very easy to collect it. In fact, a lot of the banks, you can go at 2 o'clock at night and you have your card and you can withdraw. Some of the banks, there's a limit how much he can draw. Withdraw others, he can withdraw as much money as they have. So Rabbi Moshe was of the, that's how they say, Rabbi Moshe was of the opinion that the money in the savings account in the banks today is considered mukhzak. He felt like the Shoyal, along the lines of the Shoyal and the Tshuvas Nadi Yehuda. That if you're secure in collecting it, and he thought not only is it called mukhzak on the Karen, let's say, I got married and I got the chleis $20,000 in cash gifts and I put it in the bank account and I left it there. So after many years, I have $30,000 because I have $10,000 with this. But Moshe felt not only the $20,000 that I once owned that I put it into the bank, even in the ribbis, even the extra $10,000 that I never owned at all, but I accumulated it over the years. And if I walk into the bank anytime, I can take the full $30,000. They'll give it to me right away. So that even that's called mukhzak. Not only the keren is called mukhzak, even the ribbis is also called mukhzak. It's not called ro'i. But that's a question. The Rebbe Yehuda holds not so. The Rebbe Yehuda holds halacha. That a halvo is always called ro'i, and it's not called mukhzak. So that's a din That's a din in the Chumash. The Bchor Chola Sheimotze Lo, Lotze Lo Pishnan Chola Sheimotze Lo, B'muchzik V'lo B'roi. So Nechse Dabu Ad'Abe, if the grandfather dies after the father, and the father Yarshins B'kever, so that Mammon he didn't possess B'chayv, so that everybody agrees that that's called Roi, the Bchor is not entitled for Pishnai. And if the father bought a lottery ticket and the drawing was after he died, everyone agrees that that's called Roi, that's not called Muchzak. And the Machlokes, Rebbe and the Chachamim, Taisis quotes that in Yesh Nochlin, the Gemara Paskin, the Maskana there, we Paskin like the Shita that is called Roi, it's not called Muchzak. The Chayv, the Milva that was only collected after the father died, that's called Roi. So the Bchor is not entitled to Bishnah. Then the Gemara has another machloikis between Rabbi and Chachamim that's referred to here on the top line on Nun Beis Amud Beis. The top line that the Bchor doesn't get Pishnaim, and the Gemara gives an in Rotwe. So what's an example? Shvacha de Mimele Chafura v'Havi Shleivale Shlufafe v'Havi Tamre. When the father died, let's say the father died and he had a farm with a lot of apple trees. There were no apples growing on the trees. And months, two years after the father died, every year the apple tree gives off apples. What about all those apples? The father died, he owned the tree. If you own a tree, so whatever grows on a tree belongs to you. But the apples grew on the tree after the father died. They weren't in existence during the lifetime of the father. So that's considered ra'oi, according to all the opinions. That's ra'oi according to all the opinions. Even though the tree existed, and the schus of ara'i ashbach, ara in Aramaic means karka. Ara'i means akarka shali. Ara aleph resh ayin aleph. There's another word, arai, ayin resh aleph yud means temporary. I remember when I was planning to learn in Eretz Yisrael for a year, it never happened. I didn't go to learn, but I was going to learn for 1 year in Eretz Yisrael. They had to go to the embassy, the Israeli embassy, and they stamped on your passport, Toshav Aroi. If you're just going for a month or for a couple of weeks, that's a visitor. But if you want to stay for a year, you have to get them to stamp on your passport, Toshav Aroi. So I don't know why, they spelled Aroi incorrectly. They spelled it Aroi, Aleph Reish Ayin Yud. Aleph Reish Ayin Yud means Hakarka Shali, Ara Shali, my Karka. And Aroi, temporary, is Zayin Reish Aleph Yud. So the Gemara has like this. If the father died and there were bare trees, and months after, there's probably a season, a certain season in the year, when the apples grow on the tree. So at the time the father died, there were no apples on the tree. So all the shvacha de memela, all the apples that grow on the tree later, and when the father died, they weren't there at all, it was just a tree. So that's called ra'oi, according to all the tanoim. What if you have a big tree, and the tree keeps on getting fatter and fatter? It gets bigger. But it's not really a major shinoi. It's the same tree, but it's every year it gets 2 inches thicker. 1 inch on this side, 1 inch on that side, an inch all the way around and around. Every year it gets fatter. So that's a shva. The tree is worth more. If it's a fatter tree, it's worth more. A skinnier tree is worth less. So that's a shvacha de mele de lo yishtani. Nothing really changed over there. So that, all that, we don't consider that roi. That's called muchzak, because the tree was basically there before. It just got fatter with the no major shidur. But if there was a shvacha de b'mele de ishtani, when the father died, the apple started to grow. So it was already partially there. Not just there was a tree, there were apples there. And then they developed to become not just budding, but they developed to be fully ripened apples. So that's a machloikis hatanoim. Is that called muchzak or is that called roi? The same two tanoim who argue about milveh, whether milveh is called muchzak or roi, they have the machloikis is there also. So we pasken that if it's shvacha de b'mele di ishtani, That's the first line, the top line on Nun Beis and Beis. Shvacha de Bemele, the Ishtani, Shavale, what does it say? Chafura Bahavi Shibolim, and Shlufafi Bahavi Tamri. The apples were beginning to grow, tomorrow, my dates, they were beginning to grow, and then they got gigantic, much bigger. So that's a Shvacha de Bemele, the Ishtani. So that's a Machlekes HaTanai. The Shvacha de Bemele, the Lo Ishtani, just the tree got fatter. That's called Muxam. Yeah. So there's a din. That's a din in the Chumash that the Bchor is entitled to Pishnaim. Only Muxam and not Beraui. If it's Raui, then the Bchor gets one share. He doesn't get a double share. He gets like any other son. Yeah. Then the Mishnah has also another din. Habal Yoshes Ishtai. An interesting aloche. If the husband dies first, the wife does not yarshen the husband. The wife is entitled to collect the ksuba. Ksuba is a fortune of money. But the wife does not yarshen the money. If the husband wants that after he dies, as I have 9 children, and each one has his own parnasa, each one is doing decently well. So if I die before my wife, I want all of my assets, whatever I have, to go to my wife. So you can arrange that. You have to make a shibud. Let's say when I die, I don't think I'm going to have $10 million in assets. I'm pretty sure I won't have $10 million in assets. I just obligate myself to give my wife his chayvus of $10 million. So she takes everything. I'm not going to have $10 million. So she takes everything away. It's not chaf to have Yusha for my 9 children. They don't get anything. First, you have to pay up the Bali Chayvus. I became a Bal Chayv to my wife. In secular law, I was told there is no such thing. The Creator is Chayvus, not in exchange for anything. Just Yesh Me'ai. The person just says, I accept upon myself his Chayvus to $9 million, to $10 million. There is no such thing. But in halacha there is, so you can fill out a secular will, you leave all of your assets to your wife. So the government will recognize the secular will. And al pi halacha, there is no such thing, making a will to leave the money to your wife. You have to have the schayvus. So you have to make a kinyan and make a schayvus to give your wife $10 million. So you know you're not going to have so much money, so she'll get everything. So the din is habal yorosh eshishtoi, vein ha'isha yorosh eshishtoi. Abal Yerushas Ishto is a machlokes hatanai, whether that's a din deraisa or din derabon. That's a machlokes hatanai. And it's machlokes, it's the Rambam and the Ravid had a paskin. The Rambam paskins in Hilchas Ishus as well as in Hilchas Nachlas. The Rambam has it twice, and the Ravid is masik both places. The Rambam paskins like the Shita Satanaim, that Abal Yerushas Ishto is only mid derabonah. And the Ravid thinks we should paskin like the other opinion. Abal Yerushas Ishto is a din deraisa. That's a machlekes hatanai. So it's a machlekes the Rambam and the Ravid had a paskin. There's a peledik Rambam that the Ravid says he doesn't know where in the world he got that from. The Rambam writes that hakoyin is not allowed to be metame lemesim. The psukim at the beginning of Parshas Emor, Emor hakoyanim in Aram hakolim. The nefesh leitame biyamov, unless it's one of the zayin kroivim. So who are the zayin kroivim that the koyin is mechuyev to be metame? Lo yitama, we pass on lo yitama and mechuyev to be metame. So the father, the mother, the brother, the sister, the 2 siblings, and the son and the daughter. Those are 6. Those are 6 blood relatives. And then the 7th one is the wife. So the wife, the Rambam says, ha'koy metame le'ishtoi, is only midirabbanan. The Ravid says, where in the world did he get that from? It's only midirabbanan. And nobody holds like that. Everybody says, Pasuk says, Nefesh Leitam Levavav Kimu Nishere HaKorah Ve'elav, Nishere is a Lishtai. That's a drush in the Torah's Kohanim. The Gemara quotes it on the Pasuk in the beginning of Marsha Semor. Nishere is a Lishtai. So where did the Rambam get this idea from? The Ein Habal Metame Lishtai is only Medi Rabbanan. So the Ragachover suggests that the issue, whether it's the Raisa de Rabbanan, depends on Habal Yerush HaSishtai, whether that's the Raisa de Rabbanan. Why? Because if the wife dies, the husband is no longer married. You can't be married to a dead person. So once the wife dies, if my brother dies, I never had a brother. If my brother dies, so he's still my brother. The blood relative remains. But if it's a relative through marriage, once one spouse dies, then the other one is no longer married to this spouse. There's no ish es lachamisa. So that's the machlekes hatanoim, whether Abba Yerush es ishta can be their isa de Rabbanan. Because after the wife dies, the husband is not married to her anymore. So that's his former wife. But the moment she dies, it's not his wife anymore. So the Rambam holds that it's only with the Rabbanan. Like that Tana holds that Abba Yerush es ishta is only the Rabbanan. The Rabbi Paskins, no. It's their isa because it's only after the death that the ishus was broken. Because until the moment of death, that was his wife. He never divorced her. So at the moment of death, then he has a chiv to be mitame to the wife. So the Rambam understood that whether habal mitame le ishtoi, or the kohen is mitame to ishtoi nesua, is that their isa derabbanan. The Gemara never has a discussion about that. But the Rambam thought that that depends whether habal yerush es ishtoi is their isa derabbanan. But because the Rambam adopted the position that habal yerush es ishtoi is only with the Rabbanan, that's why he adopted such a position, even though you don't find it in the Gemara anywhere. That a koy mitame le'ishta in Nesua, that's only midirabban. The Rabbit says, no, they're both their isa. The Baal mit Yorish es ishta, he paskins is their isa. Baal mitame le'ishta is also their isa. So this is then a Baal Yorish es ishta. So the Gemara has psukim, the Gemara dug up psukim, that a Baal Yorish es ishta doesn't apply to ro'oi kibba muchsok. So Tosis writes a dovah pashut, in this Tosis that we were quoting from before, Nun Aleph Amud Beis, and the first line of Tosis they quoted from Perek Yeshnechlin, Paskinan, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that we paskin like the Tana, Ein Abchornot of Bishnai bin Milve, whether he lent to Yisrael, or lent to Anochri, or the Gobe Karka, Gobe Moes, Milve Bishnai, Milve Bapen, it doesn't make a difference, the Pchor doesn't get Bishnai. So the Shaila is Habal Yerush es ishtoi. So let's say the wife had money in a savings account, a separate savings account. So money in a, if she has money in a safe deposit vault, that's a pikodin. So pikodin is a muchsot, so the husband yarshins. But if she had money in a savings account is a halvor, lending money to the bank, and they're committing themselves, they're obligating themselves to pay you ribbis. Because they make much more. They lend out the money and they charge a lot of interest. They give you some of the, a few peanuts, a little bit of the interest that the bank gets. So they give you to share some of that interest. So the shaila is, if the wife dies and the husband yarshins the wife, and the wife had a fortune of money, and halvois, she had money in the bank, if you hold like a Moshe functional actor, like the shoyl and the chuvas nadi bihuda, so the banks are all federally insured. So that's called muchsok. So the Baal is Yerush es ishtoi b'muchsok. What if you hold like the Nadi Yehuda? What if you hold like the, as the Pashtus is like the Nadi Yehuda, that all halvois, once the Gemara rejected that it doesn't make a difference whether the loiv is a Yisrael or an Ofri, so they rejected all these words. It doesn't matter how easy it is to collect the money. Even if you're vadai, secure, to collect all the money, it's federally insured, it's still called Roi. Still not called Mursa, it's still called Roi. So that's the Shaila. That definition of Roi is that, that Machloek is Atanoim. And Tosis on the first line quoted the Psak from the Yeshnechlin, that a Milva is called Roi. Is that only vis-a-vis Pchor? Is that with respect to Abal Yerush es ishtoi also? So that's a big Machloek is the Rimigash and everybody else. So Tosis quotes part of the story. They don't quote the whole thing. There is a Gemara in Bava Kamma. The Gemara discusses Shoah Muad kills a woman. So the owner of the Shoah Muad has to pay a kofer. But the kofer can only be collected lachamisa. Let's say the Shoah Muad gored a woman and it took her a while till she died. So the chiyuv to pay the kofer is only lachamisa. So the shaila is, does the husband yarshin that? The chiyuv really is to the harug. The Shoah Muad killed the human being, so the chiyuv is to the harug, and the yarshim get it, so does the husband yarshin that? So the way we have the girsa in the Gemara, and all of our kisvayat, all of our additions in the Gemara, it says that that's called ro'oi, en abal yarish b'ro'i kibam muchsok. Just like a milva that wasn't collected until after the father died, It's called ra'oi vis-a-vis apchor. The apchor doesn't get pishnayim. So achov, chov or mazik, whatever, achi of mamen, that someone owes the wife, and then the wife dies before she collects it, so that's also considered ra'oi. It's not considered mochsek, so the husband doesn't get it. That's what Taisus holds. And the Rin Magash stands alone. The Rin Magash holds that it's not so. Why? So the Pashtus is the Rin Magash Hashita. He had a different gears than the Gemara Bava Kama. The way we have the Gemara, it says Beferish, what Taisus said. But the Rin Magash had a different gears. And the Hezbo, we understand why. Because there is a Gemara in the end of Bava Basra, not in Yesh Nachman, the next parak, after parak Yesh Nachman. So the Gemara seems to say there that Habal Yerush Esishtai is a hemshech of the Zchus Habal Benichse. It's different from every other Yerusha. Every other, the husband and the wife are not related. Mishpachas Amkri, Mishpachas Amenikri, Mishpachas. So the husband is not Mishpachas Av with his wife, unless he married his first cousin. But he's not yashining her because it's his cousin, yashining because he's the husband. So the husband, the relationship of the husband and the wife, that's not through Mishpachas Av. So it's not a normal din. It's not, that's like a ben Yorosh HaSimai. It's an irregular din. It's not the normal din of Mishpachto v'Yorosh HaYisa. So the husband yashining also is a din of Komtachas Ishtoi. It's a din of Komtach. It's a different din. So the dinim are slightly different. So the Gemara seems to present it in the end of our master. The husband, so let's say I have a rich uncle, and the rich uncle died, and I get the Yerusha. So I didn't have any shaychus with the rich uncle's assets during his lifetime. It didn't belong to me, it belonged to the rich uncle. When a couple is married, the husband has chusim on the wife's nechosim while they're married, while she's still alive. Peres nechsem elug is only a din with the rabbanim, and there is no peres nechsem elug. But the halacha says, if it's a din deraisa, abal yerusha ishtai, said this is what it's based on. The husband has chusim mamen on nechsei ishtai while they're married together, while they're alive. And those chusim mamen, while they're alive, develop to become, after the wife passes away, so it becomes kinyanim gemurim. It's not yerusha that the marish died and it used to belong to the marish, now belongs to the yerush. It switches. No, it doesn't switch. The husband owned it all along. The husband had tzchusei mamen and nechsei ishtai. So I can understand if a couple was married and the wife died and then her father dies after she died, father dies after her, the father left no sons, he only left the daughter or daughters. So the wife is going to yarshin bekever. What she yarshin bekever, she never owned that during her lifetime. So she never owned it, her father owned it, never owned it, so the husband never had a schus mamen on that. And the din habal yerush hasishta is that the schus mamen that the husband had on his wife's assets during her lifetime developed to become kinyanim gemurim after she dies. But if she didn't have the mamen at all, so it can't develop to become anything. So that's only nechse da avi abba. Nechse, if her father dies after she dies. So that ra'oi, or let's say she bought a lottery ticket, and the drawing of the lottery was after she died, so she didn't have the mamen at all. But if she had money, and she lent it to other people, or she put it away in savings account, so she had schusei mamen. That was her money. So the husband has schusei mamen, the money that she had. So that goes... So that develops to become Kinyan Gemurim Lach Amisa. We understand the Rid Megash Hashim. It's against the Gemara. The Gemara Bava Kama, Mbase or something, Mbase on a base, they tell you on the side of the Daf, where the din is in Bava Kama. So Gemara Bava Kama, we have the Girsa not like the Rid Megash. The Magen Mishnah thinks that the Rambam maybe agrees with the Rid Megash. So the Beis Shmuel writes, it's still a sheet yichido, even if the Rambam agrees with the Rin Magash, we absolutely don't follow the Rin Magash. We hold like Taisus and all the regular Rishonim, that Habal Yerush Hasishta only b'muchzak and not b'ro'oi, and if the wife had lent out money, or she put money in a savings account, the Pashto money in the savings account is a halboa, unless you hold like the Shoel and not the Biyuda, if the bank is federally insured. But if you don't hold like that, then the money in the savings account is ra'oi. Just like it's ra'oi vis-a-vis the p'chor not being entitled to pishnayim. There should be roi vis-a-vis that the Baal shouldn't yarshin nechse yishtoi. That's the pashtas. See, the Mishnah has these din. The poor doesn't get pishnah in beroike mamuchsot, and a Baal yarshin yishtoi doesn't apply. Mishnah doesn't take a stand, but a Baal yarshin yishtoi is a din derais and din derabana, doesn't make too much. It's going to make a difference on base and base for other din. Whether it's chayzer b'yovel or not, but b'negiah to these dinim, it's not relevant. The din is that the husband doesn't get pishnayim b'roike b'amuchsav.
Rav Schechter, is it permissible to declare strategic bankruptcy? Strategic bankruptcy is where the person or the corporation has the money, they're able to pay, but they choose not to pay, which is from the perspective of Dina de Malchusa, it's perfectly legitimate. Is it permissible, according to Jewish law, in such a case, to not pay?
Usually the klal is that Dina de Malchusa is binding. Dina de Malchusa has different aspects. So one aspect is that you have to pay taxes. So that's number one. Then another aspect is what's considered kesef, what's considered shava kesef. We learned the Gemara Dafago that there are three halachas where you need dafka kesef, and shava kesef is no good. When you get married, you give a ring, so that's shava kesef kekesef. When you make pidyon aben, so some people give Israeli coins. In America, Israeli coins are shava kesef. In Eretz Yisrael, Israeli coins are legal tender. So kesef versus shava kesef depends on dina and machusa dina. If it's a legitimate government, and they declare coins or paper dollars, let's say, as legal tender, so that has the din of kesef, and everything else that's not legal tender, that's shavu kesef. So that's based on din of machusa din. Then the government has the right to formulate a whole legal system. A legal system for chayvul, mazik, and halvois. So Dina Machusa Dina would only apply if one of the parties, at least one of the parties involved, is a non-Jew. If both of the parties involved, all the parties involved are Jewish, let's say a Jewish person dies and all of his relatives are Jewish, and it's a question of how they divide the Yerusha. So we don't follow, it says the Shulchan Aruch, according to Chibus Rajma, we don't follow Dina de Machusa. Dina Machusa only applies for the following the legal system of the government, secular government, if at least one of the parties involved is an Ochri. So then, Dina Machusa, even if they go for a Din Torah, the Dayanim are supposed to pass according to Dina de Machusa. So, years ago, about 100 years ago in New York, there were Jewish factory owners who would only hire Jewish people. They wouldn't hire any non-Jews. Why? Because they planned to pay less than the minimum wages. And Dina Machusa doesn't apply whenever all the parties involved are Jewish. So the factory owner was Jewish and the workers were Jewish. So he doesn't have to give the minimum wages. Or they would rent apartments. There would be rent control. He can't rip off the tenants. He can't charge too much. So they would rent only to Jewish people on the assumption that the rent control laws don't apply to them, because Dina Machusa Dina only applies if at least one of the parties involved is a goy. Rav Henkin at that time published a psak, and the Pashto said that he was right, that if the government has a whole legal system, the state government has a whole legal system, so that only applies if at least one of the parties is a non-Jew. If all the parties are non-Jew, it doesn't apply. But if the government makes a takana, l'toivus hamedina, they made a takana of declaring bankruptcy. That if a person made a major mistake in investments, on business or something, and he's going to be mechuyev for the rest of his life, he'll never be able to fix it, never be able to pull his head out of this blunder. So they made a takana that you can declare bankruptcy. You're not mechuyev to pay back any of the debts. So a takana of the tikkun hamedina, or a takana of minimum wages, or rent control, or price control on necessities, and milk and eggs and meat and things like that. And ice cream, you can charge whatever you want. And diamonds, you can charge whatever you want. But on necessities, the government used to control, maybe they still control, you can't charge too much. So that's a takan of the Tikkun Abdina. So that's binding even if all the parties involved the Jews. That's Rav Henkin published the Tshuva. There are many different aspects to Dina Machusa Dina. The one is minting coins. So legal tender is called Kesef. There's Kesef and Neshavah Kesef. Kesef sometimes means silver, but Kesef versus Neshavah Kesef has nothing to do with silver. It means that it's legal tender recognized by the government. So that depends on Dina Machusa. Those Chaver from the Neturei Karta who don't recognize the Israeli government, they claim that they're a bunch of pirates, so they're very consistent, and they won't use Israeli coins with Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni, because the Rambam says, and that's the Shach and Yeridah, and Hillel's Ribbis has this, that it's only considered Kesef if it's declared as legal tender by a legitimate government. And if the government is a bunch of pirates, it's not a legitimate government. Every government, the people in government are stealing and cheating. That was always Mishesh's Mibreshus, unfortunately. But basically, if it's a legitimate government, a couple of ganovim here and there, so then the money that they mint is considered kesef. What they declare as legal tender is considered kesef. And Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni has to be davke kesef. So if you don't recognize the Israeli government, then you can't use Israeli coins for Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni. That's what the Neturei Karta, they quote the Chazon Ish, talks about Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni. He doesn't say you use Israeli coins, he said you use shillings. That Chelek in the Chazon Ish was written when Eretz was under the British. So he says, you use shillings. But after it was under the after HaKamas HaMedina, 1948, so all the Gdolim used Israeli coins to be Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni. They all recognize the government. Only the Turekarta, the loonies, so they don't recognize the government. So they hold that it's Shavu Kesef, it's not Kesef. Israeli coins in America are not recognized by the American government. So here in America, you can't be paid in Ma'aseh Sheni on an Israeli coin. Unless Israeli coin is an Eretz Yisrael. So then, that's the Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. If the Israeli coin is an Eretz Yisrael, but the person who's being paid in the Ma'aseh Sheni is in New York, I purchase from the store Israeli fruits or vegetables, and the Rabbanut doesn't take responsibility for afreshes trumas ha'maaseh and what they export to Chutz La'aretz. I have to be mafresh trumas ha'maaseh. I have to be paid in the Ma'aseh Sheni, so I can't use an Israeli coin that's in America because it's considered shavu kesef. What if the Israeli coin is in Eretz Yisrael? So the Ravid, there are two girsas in Bava Kamma, the end of Bava Kamma. So the Ravid's girsa is we assume is the more correct girsa. The Ravid's girsa is it depends where the money is. And the Rambam's girsa in the Gemara in the end of Bava Kamma is that it depends where the person is. If the person is in Chutz La'aretz, even though the money is in Eretz Yisrael, he can't use an Israeli coin. But the Chazon Ish says we should pass on like the Ravid because the Rambam's Girsa doesn't fit into the Gemara. The Rambam had an incorrect Girsa. Theoretically, there are three possibilities. Does it depend where the Ma'aseh Sheni is located? Or does it depend where the money is located? Does it depend where the person is located who's doing the Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni? To determine whether it has to be, let's say, the Ma'aseh Sheni is in London and the person who wants to be paid in Ma'aseh Sheni is in New York and the money is in Yerushalayim. Person has money in his apartment in Yerushalayim. Well, for many years, Rav Neuwirth was a Yekke, and he went to school in Germany before the war together with all the Yekkes from Breuer's community. So every year, in Breuer's Rosh Hashanah issue of the newsletter, of the Shul newsletter, they would have an advertisement there. Rabbi Neuwirth gives permission to anyone who's a member of Breuer's to use his Kruta Chamura, to use his coin that he uses for the purpose of Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni, he gives all the Yekkes who are members of Breuer's permission to use his Matbeya. His Matbeya was in Beit Vegan. He lived in Beit Vegan. And the one who's being Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni lives in New York. So he gave them all permission to use his coins. According to the Ravid, it's good. The coin is an Eretz Yisrael, and it's an Israeli coin. So it's considered Kesef. But according to the Rambam's Girsa in the Gemara, the end of Bava Kamma was, it depends where the person is. So the person is in New York, so he can't use an Israeli coin. So they quote the Chazon Ish, and other poskim say, we don't follow the Rambam here. We follow the Ravid, because the Rambam had an incorrect girsa. It doesn't read straight in the Gemara. The Ravid's Girsa seems to be more correct, so it depends where the money is.
According to the Rambam, can I be make a shliach in Eretz Yisrael to use the coin in Eretz Yisrael?
According to the Rambam? Yeah. Oh, you mean the shliach is in Eretz Yisrael?
Right.
The Bailam is in America? I don't know. That's a good shayla. I don't know. Gotta look to all the Gemaras, yeah. So he wanted to know about declaring bankruptcy. So bankruptcy was a takana b'pnei tikkun ha'olam, like minimum wages, like rent control. Takana b'pnei tikkun ha'olam. So that's binding even on Jewish people. But there's a tosefta in Gittin that says, tosefta says like this. Years ago in America, there was a whole issue for a couple of years of medical malpractice. A doctor harmed a patient accidentally, not the nasal, harmed the patient accidentally, and he caused the patient chavolah. So is he chayv to pay or not? So there are three different tosefta's about that. So there's one tosefta that says, Yichai b'dinei shamayim, yipot medinei adam, chayv b'dinei shamayim. So that goes in the case where the Bezdin or the government made a takonim, they tikkun ha'olam, to encourage the superior doctors to stay in the field of medicine. Because they were suing so many doctors years ago because of medical malpractice, so that they felt mali v'latzor azaz, what I have to pay, what I have to go into practicing medicine. I'm going to make one mistake and I'll be ruined for the rest of my life. I'll never be able to pay up the chayvus. So people were running, they went into other businesses, they left medicine. So to encourage, the Tanoim decided to encourage the best medical doctors to remain in the field, so they made a takana to'olo yishalmo. If they harm the patient accidentally, they don't have to pay. So the Tosefta says, but if the doctor has enough money to pay, he's chay b'dinei shamayim. So let's say a person declared bankruptcy, it's legitimate. If it's legal, it's legitimate. So then he doesn't have to pay. He doesn't have to pay the Jews, doesn't have to pay the goyim. That's it. But b'dinei shamayim, if he has enough money to make good to pay, then he certainly should pay. Then there's also one opinion in Tosfos in the beginning of Perek HaShaleach, that whenever there's a takon mepnei tikkun ha'olam, and the person is using, he's abusing the system. So you say that it's legal and legitimate to declare bankruptcy, even if you have a lot of money to pay. But sometimes people hide their assets, and it's really illegal. They're abusing the system. So Tyson has one day, whenever the takkone, the tikkun ha'olam was made to address a certain issue, and the issue doesn't really exist in a particular case. He's just abusing the system for his benefit. So then Tyson has one opinion, that takkone doesn't apply in such a case. So let's say a person is declaring bankruptcy when it's not really right. He has enough money to pay all the chayvus, and he's just hiding all of his assets. So if you say that it's legitimate. But if you assume that it's not legitimate, so then Taisus says the whole takana doesn't apply in such a case. Yeah, the Medinim about these things. The Gemara is about things. It is on this daf, in the back of Bechoris, we have Hilchas Bechoris Laha Ramban. The Rif wrote Hilchas Harav Alfas on many Mesichtas, only on the Mesichtas that are Negev Bizman Hazeh. So on Kochim, he didn't write. Kochim is not to Negev Bizman Hazeh. Pidyon HaBen is no geir. The dinim b'chor ben metor, b'chor ben metameir. A lot of the dinim on the geir b'zman is that. But we have no riff. So the Ramban wrote like an imitation riff. So the Hilchas b'chor is lohar Ramban. There are some people, I think we mentioned when we started learning, some Hasidim will learn b'choris in order to learn the Marit al-Ghazi's running commentary on the Ramban. Because Marit al-Ghazi was a Sephardic Goyim from the 1700s, but he has fantastic harifas, he has fantastic bikiyas, the pilpul. That's his commentary printed on the side of the page of the Ramban. So the Ramban on Ardaf has a big machloekes harishonim, which is kedai to discuss a little bit. This is really a nizikin. This is really a nizikin. The Mishnah says, a woman who's married has a ksuba. Even if the husband never gave her a piece of paper, a ksuba under the chuppah, ksuba is a takonas chachamim. That's called tenai bezin. Bezin made a takona like hefke bezin hefke. Just like if the Torah imposes a chiv, it's called milva ksuba Torah. Others from the Fatima, it's a shemra kefal dalin hey. They're a chiyub and mama that the Torah imposes. They're a chiyub and mama that a person accepts upon himself. He borrows money or he buys a house. He has to pay the mehametah. Then there are chiyuv mamon that the Torah imposes. But then there are chiyuv mamon that the Chachamim impose. So there's a machlokes in the Gemara where the ksuba deraisa, lav deraisa, ruba deruba of the Rishayim assume that's accepted. And ksuba is lav deraisa. Ksuba is not a din deraisa. Ksuba is only the Rabban. So the Mishnah says, when does a wife have the right to collect the ksuba? If the husband dies first, or if the husband divorced her? Unless she was at fault for the divorce. Let's say she was a witch. She doesn't want to go to mikveh. She wants to, she's feeding her husband non-kosher food. So then, or she's disrespectful to her in-laws. If she's responsible for the breakup of the marriage, then she loses the ksuba. Or if she has an affair with someone else, and she has to get divorced from the husband. So she caused the divorce. So she, if he can ascertain that the wife was the cause of the divorce, then the husband, in that case, the husband is not obligated to pay the ksuba. But whenever it's not her fault, it's no one's fault. They fell out of love, and they're bored with each other. They get divorced. So the din is, if it's no one's fault, then the husband doesn't have to be the husband's fault. The only time the husband is putter from paying ksuba is when you can ascertain clearly that the wife is at fault. So let's say the wife is entitled to collect the ksuba. Let's say the husband died. After the husband died, then the husband doesn't have so much money. When the husband died, he was a poor man. He didn't have so much money to pay the ksuba. The ksuba, let's say, is $100,000, a fortune a month. So the husband didn't leave $100,000 in assets. After the husband dies, then his father dies. His father was a wealthy man. So the husband, Yarshin's bekever. So can the wife collect ra'oi? That's called Rawi. The Mishnah says that the poor doesn't get Pishnaim B'Roikim Amuchsav, and Habal Yerush Asishte doesn't get Pishnaim B'Roikim Amuchsav, and a wife who wants to collect Ksuba because the husband died cannot collect Rawi Kib Amuchsav. So the Ramban quotes a Machlekes HaRishayim. Some Rishayim say yes, some Rishayim say no, some Rishayim say maybe. You have all the three opinions in the Ramban. Yes, no, maybe. What's the din by another Baal Chayiv? I lent money, a Malba lends money to the Loive, and the Loive is Meshubah to pay back all the money. And the Loive dies penniless. He doesn't have enough assets to pay the Malba. After the Loive dies, then his father dies. The Loive's father dies. The Loiva, we call it, the Loiva Yarshin's the father Bekever. The Loiva is dead, he Yarshin's Bekever. So does the Malva have the right to collect from Ra'ui? When the Mishnah says, Isha Biksubasa cannot collect the Ra'ui Kibamuksa, because that only Isha Biksubasa, because the Gemara has an expression over here, but it gets to a different thing. Ikuliksubishanukan, when Mako, we're not so insistent on collecting all the money for the ksuba, because the Gemara says you don't have to be so worried about the ksuba. The Gemara says Yosef Mishalish Roitzalisha Uitza Roshali Nosei. More than the man is interested in getting married, men have a desire to get married. Women have a greater desire to get married. So we don't have to encourage the girl to get married by promising her that in the event that the husband dies first, she's going to collect the ksuba, she's going to want to get married anyway. You don't have to coax her into getting married. Because Yosef Mireshavish, Rotsa Lisa, Lisha Rotsa Lehinase. The women have a greater desire to get married. So that's why you have certain kulas in Gvias HaKsuvah. So the Gemara says they're going to get to a different kula, that Shvach. We'll get to that later. But over here, this is what the Ramban quotes three shittas. Yes, no, maybe. When it says the woman whose husband died, who's entitled to collect the Ksuvah, the husband didn't leave enough assets. Let's say the Ksuvah is $100,000. He died, he didn't have $100,000. But his father dies afterwards, and he, Arshin's Bekever, so the Mishnah says the wife cannot collect the Ksuvah from Ro'oi Kibam Mukhsa. Is that the Kula Ksuvah Shonukan? But any other Baal Choyv can collect by Ro'oi? But you say, no, the wife cannot collect Ro'oi Kibam Mukhsa. That's representative of all Baal Choyvs. No Baal Choyv can collect by Ro'oi Kibam Mukhsa. So some Rishonim say the Mesupik, of course, Rabbi Chanina says Tzorchiyan, not sure, and some Rishonim say other Baal Choyvs can't collect by Ro'oi. And the Isha is the Yotzim in HaKlal that she can't collect because the Kulik Subashanukan. And others say not so, that Isha is representative of all of the Baal Chayvus. What does it depend on? What does it depend on? So you have to know all of those who are married. So when you get married, you give your wife a Ksuba. And so it's in the Ksuba that we obligate ourselves to give our wives. It's a monetary agreement. We obviously have to give our wives, if we divorce them, or if the husband dies first, she's entitled to collect all the three different parts of the ksuba. And we are mishabed, the chasim, all the assets, the kanoi, that I possess already now, with the osir anol amikti in the future. Whatever assets I will buy in the future, let's say at the time a yeshiva bacha gets married, he's learning in for smicha. He doesn't have any real estate. He has hardly anything. He has a couple of underwear, has a couple of shirts, a couple of suits, a pair of shoes, a couple of pairs of shoes. Doesn't have too much assets. So he says he's mishabed. The chasim deis to lanachray, he says the less lanachray. He says mishabed karka emetalpilim. Then he says, dikanoi that I possess already, with the osin on all the mikta, and then a chasim that I will buy in the future. So even if the husband buys karka in the future, and then he sells it to the lekeach, the wife has a right to collect from that karka from the lekech, because the husband was mishabed. It was mishabed de kanoi, what I possess already. Udosir on all the mikna. Any karka I will buy in the future also is mishabed. So that's a discussion in the Gemara. Is that legitimate? Can you do that? Why? There is a machlokes, a big machlokes hatana. Can you make a kinyan on a dovish lo boli yolum? So take, for example, during the Second World War, they wouldn't allow Jewish people to come into America. There was a quota. The people were running away from the Nazis to save their lives, so they wouldn't let you into America unless you were married to an American. So there were yeshiva boys who would get married to a Jewish girl, civilly, and then they would come to America because they're married to the Jewish girl, and then they would have a civil divorce. They never intended to live with them in the first place. The girl just agreed to marry the boy to save his life. So let's say, and some of them gave a chuppah b'kiddushin also, and then they gave a get later on. So let's say the girl wants to save the boy's life, but she's afraid he's going to give her a ring, say harayat mekudeshesli. And then he may decide to hold her. He's not going to give her a get later on. But let's say he'll give her the get. Haret Mugureshes Mimani, the week after I arrive in America. And he gives her the get before he gave her the Kesef Kiddushin. Is that valid? So the Gemara said, that's a machlokes Rav Meir Nachachamim. According to Rav Meir, you can make a kinyan on a dovish above the other. A man could write a get and give the get to his girlfriend. He didn't marry the girl yet. And he says, this get should take effect the week after I come to America, but he's not even married yet. Tomorrow he's going to give her the ring. Say, but she wants to be secure to make sure that he's not going to be ma'agin her. But what if he gives her the get before he even married her in the first place? So we paskin that get is not lishma. You can make a get on a marriage that doesn't exist. Or let's say I'm negotiating to buy the Brooklyn Bridge, and I'm friendly with the president of Brooklyn. He may sell it to me. He's not friendly with you, he's not going to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. Why do I need the Brooklyn Bridge? Well, I don't need it. I want to sell it to you. You're interested. So I'm going to make a kenyan with you. I sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. If and when I succeed in purchasing the Brooklyn Bridge, I sell it to you. It should belong to you the day after it belongs to me. But it doesn't belong to me now. So that's a machlokes bipaskin. You cannot make a kenyan on a dovish lebalion. The Brooklyn Bridge doesn't belong to you yet. It has to be shalcha now at the time. So that's where the Gemara has a discussion in Bava Basra, towards the end of Bava Basra. Is this legitimate? The Chosin writes in the Ksuba, I'm Meshabir Ola Karkoes, the Oser Anola Nikne. Did Kanoi, Meshabir Ola assets that I possess now. Now he only has a couple of suits and a couple of pairs of shoes and underwear. He doesn't have too much assets. Yeshiva Bacham when he gets married. So he says, it's Meshabir all the assets, the Kanoi that he possesses right now, with the Asar on all the Mikna, he's going to be Meshabir all the assets that he will buy in the future. So Shibud Nechosim is what we call a Kinya Lachatzoyim. It's like I'm giving partial ownership to the Malve. The Loive is giving partial Kinya, and Kinya Lachatzoyim is giving partial ownership. The Karkoes belong to the Malve with respect to Gvi Asachov. Karkoes belong to the Loive right now. But if and when it comes time to collect, and the loiva doesn't have any assets, so we say the karkos belonged to the malva from the time that he gave him the shtar, from the time that the loiva borrowed the money, when the malva and the loiva gave the shtar to the malva, the shiba nechosim already said in there. So since shiba nechosim have a lien on the karka, that's a kinyan lachatzayin, so you can't make a kinyan on a dovish labodiyadu. How can you be mishabit karka that you don't have yet? I'm a Shabbat, the karka that I possess now, and the karka that I will acquire in the future. So the Gemara has an Ibaya. Is that legitimate? Is there such a thing as Sheba de Ekne? The Gemara comes to the conclusion that yes. The question is, how come? But Sof Kosal, Gemara, if the din would have been like Reb Meir, that you can make a kinyan on a dovish labali yolam, I can give you a get before I even married you, and I can sell you the Brooklyn Bridge before I even acquired ownership of it. I'm selling you the Brooklyn Bridge. It belonged to you the day after I acquire ownership. But right now it doesn't belong to me at all. So we pass when you can't make such a kinyan. If the din would have been like Reb Meir, that you can be mishab, that you can make a kinyan on a dovish labali yolam. So we understand you can make a shibud on the karka that doesn't belong to you yet. They're going to buy it in the future. But we don't pass like Reb Meir. So how come we pass when you can make shibud yekni? So rather than break our heads to try to figure out some kind of an explanation, easiest is to say like the Rashbam, it's in the end of Bava Basra, there's no Rashi. Rashbam says it's only a takana midrabban, hefka doesn't hefka. On the level of the Raisa, it does not work. There's no way that you can make a shibud nechosim on the ekne that you don't have yet. But what was the takana midrabban? That just like Reb Meir holds he can make a kinyan, Reb Meir holds he can make a kinyan on Dovish Lebal Yonah, we usually don't accept Reb Meir's opinion. So here, we're going to get to Shib Nechasim, we accept Reb Meir's opinion. But let's say Reb Meir holds he can make a kinyan on a dovish labali yolam. So let's say the man gave the girl a get before he even married her. So according to Reb Meir, the get will be, he says the get should take effect the day after I marry her. What if he never marries her? So it's not chal. The get is not chal. Let's say I sold you the Brooklyn Bridge. If and when I succeed in negotiating from the president of the borough of Brooklyn that I should buy the bridge, so the day after I acquire ownership, it should belong to you at 9 o'clock in the morning. What if I never succeed in getting the ownership of the Brooklyn Bridge? That's not chal. So let's say the man borrowed money from the loiv. The loiv borrows money from the malva, and he writes, I'm mishabit all the nechasim that I possess, and I'm mishabit all the nechasim that I will acquire in the future. Then the loiv dies, and then his father dies after him. So the loiv gets the Yerusha Bekever, the Hanchel Abonav. But the loiv never got it. During his lifetime he never got it. So what does it help that he was Mishabed Adovah Shlo Bali Olam? He can, by Shibud, we follow Reb Meir's opinion. The Rashbam says it's only made the Rabbanim. The fact that every Ksuba, every one of us is married, has an Ksuba. We are Mishabed Dekanoi, Mishabed all the assets that we possess now, with the Asan Analamitni, the assets that we will buy in the future. But over here, the man who borrowed the money never acquired the assets during his lifetime. He died, it's Roy, he died and then he gets Yerusha from his father, the Kever, after the Levit died, then he Yashin the Kever, and he goes to his children. So it shouldn't help. No Baal Chayim should be able to collect from Roy. Not only Ksubasisha, no Baal Chayim should be able to collect from Roy, because collecting from Roy is based on Shiba de Ekni. Shiva Dekna only works if Libesof it is Bola Oilam. By Shibud Nechosim, we follow Rav Meir's opinion. Efker does not Efker. They made a Takana with the Rabbanan that Dovashal Bola Oilam does work. But that's only, I make a Kenyan now, Mishabed, the Nechosim that I'll acquire in the future if I ultimately acquire them. But if I die and then my father dies after me, so I never got it. Yashin Nekeber is a Melitza. That the Yerusha goes to Shem, but it never belonged to the man for a moment, the one of Yashin Bekevin. So how can there be an opinion? How can there be an opinion that all Baal Chayvus can collect from Roy, only Ksubas Yishana? You should say no one should collect from Roy. So the answer is that the big Tosfos, there's another Tosfos here, the Tosfos Anun Beis Amar Aleph for Rama Shmuel, the gigantic Tosfos that goes over Tom and Beis. Towards around 10 lines from the bottom, Tosfos points out that collecting, if someone borrows money from me, so he owes me the money. The shibud aguf, he owes me the money, he has to pay. If the fellow never borrowed money from me, let's say, I lent money to a person, he dies, and his assets go to his yorshim. The Yerushim never borrowed the money from me. So what right do I have to collect from the Yerushim? So we usually assume that's based on Shiva Nechosim. Or let's say, I lent money to the Loiva, and the Loiva has Karka, and he sells the Karka to the Lekuchas. So what right do I have? And then the Loiva goes bankrupt, he has no assets, he can't pay. So I go to the Lekuchas and I take away the Karka. Because it was a Milva Bishtar, the Shiva Nechosim. So the Nechasim were Kenuyim B'miktas to the Malver from the time that the Levi gave him the Shtar. So to collect from the Lekuchas, they never borrowed money. To collect from the assignment, they never borrowed any money. That's based on Shiva Nechasim. That's the Pashtus. So Tosfos points out that it's not so Pashtus. It could be that collecting from the Yorshim is more than Shiva Nechosim. To collect from the Lekuchas, that's based on Shiva Nechosim. To collect from the Yorshim, it could be that mitzvah, there's a din mid the Rabbanim, mitzvah le'isayim v'l'parachay v'savim. That's a Gemara in Ksubas daf peivav. Mitzvah le'isayim v'l'parachay v'savim. That it's not right. The father borrowed money, and he owes money, and he dies. And then and the children get all the nechosim from the father. If the father borrowed money and he dies and he's broke, he doesn't leave any yerusha to the children. There's no mitzvah. There's some farchei v'savim. They should pay up the father's debts if he never left him a yerusha. But meretach, the Gemara has an expression: Yasmi the achli the lav the two the yisaimim are living off of money that they got by yerusha. And they're not paying up the debts. The father borrowed money for the sun, the moon, and the stars. Borrowed money from everybody. He doesn't pay back. And then the Yisraelim are living a day because they had this big Yerusha. The father cheated everybody in business, and the Yisraelim are going to enjoy all the Rebach. So the Gemara says, they ask me the Achid Belav the two, if they're living off of money that they're not entitled to, Lezlo Basa Shivkai, they should drop dead. They should go to the same place, to the grave, like the father died. A curse the Gemara has. So they say, they made a takana mitzvah, they saw him, the Ferochevus Avim. So Tosfos develops an idea, maybe mitzvah, they saw him, the Ferochevus Avim makes it that collecting from Yisaimim doesn't have to be based on Shiva Nechosim. Maybe it's the Rabbanu we treated as if there's a Shibir Aguf. So we'll have to continue next week, because it's going to be a little too long. I wanted to say a short about Torah, so we'll leave in the middle of this, collecting from Yisayim versus collecting from Lukuches. As it says, that collecting from Yisayim, you don't even need Shibed Mechosim. It's in a certain sense, Midrabbanim, Mitzvah, Yisayim, Farchai, Vesadim, as if there's a Shibed Aguf. Maybe we'll save it for next week. So I wanted to say a short about Torah and the Sedra. This week is Parshas Mishpatim, so at the end, we have the continuation of the story of Maimon HaSinai. That the Gemara increases, Daftesam and Aleph, learns out the, all the laws of Geirus, conversion, when a non-Jew wants to convert, all the laws are learned out from Maimon HaSinai. That first of all, you have to have Kabbalas on mitzvahs. The Geir has to commit himself to observe all the mitzvahs at Torah. So the Bnei Yisrael said, Nasa Benishma, they're prepared to observe everything, anything that comes their way. We didn't know what was coming our way, 613 mitzvahs. Then the Gemara says you need a bris milah if it's a man. That a bris milah Mitzrayim was not only for the purpose of kolor aleichol boy, not only if you don't have a bris milah you can't eat for Pesach, but that was the beginning of the geirus of Maimon HaSinai. Then the psukim said the married people had to go to mikveh because of Balkeri, Paletu, Shechvazer, but the Gemara learns that by reading in between the lines, the single people also had to go to mikveh. So everybody had to go to mikveh. So there was Kabbalas on mitzvahs, and there was Mila, Utfila, and then there was a carbon at the end of the Sedra. There was a carbon. The Gemara says, how can you make a couple of Ger, Mizmana Zed? There's no Beis HaMikdash, you can't bring a carbon. The Gemara learns after my pasuk, the carbon is not the Akev, but the Mishnah says there in the Krisis that a Ger HaMizgayer, Mizmana Zed, if a non-Jew converts today, if he should live so long to see the building of the third Beis HaMikdash, he'll be obligated then to bring the carbon a Ger. Gear has to bring a carbon oil. If he brings a carbon oil payment, it'll cost $1,000. So the practice used to be they brought an oil saif. Oil saif is much less expensive. So the Gemara learns that all the dinim of gear is from my Hasin was the gear of Klal Yisrael. Then the psukim say that Moshe Rabbeinu was learning from the Sefer HaBris, the end of Parsha Mishpatim. What is the Sefer HaBris? What in the world is Sefer HaBris? So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, that's from Bereshis till Parshas Mishpatim. Moshe Rabbeinu had a Sefer Torah. That was called the Sefer HaBris at that time. At the end of the Abayim Shana Bamidbo, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was dictating more psukim to Moshe Rabbeinu, and there were three different Mahaduras, because three different editions, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated three different times. So sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him at the end of the Abayim Shana Bamidbar, I want you to use text, the Chumash as we have it now, that's what the Chazon Ish points out from one. The Chumash as we have it now is a composite of three different texts, all three dictated word for word, letter for letter by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the one text is, Vayidaber Shama Moshe b'Har Sinai Lema. What was told to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai? Then Vayidaber Shama Moshe Oel Moed Lema. Oel Moed, all the 40 years traveling in the Midbar. Then Vayidaber Shama Moshe m'Arvis Moav Lema. That's the third time the Torah was given, dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu. So at the end of the Abayim Shana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, put together Chamisha Chumshi Torah, Reishis Shmos Vayikra Bamidbar Dvarim. On this mitzvah use that text, on this mitzvah use that text. So the Chumash as we have it is a composite of the three different texts. We don't fully understand. The Gemara has a discussion. Why was it necessary for the Baruch Hu to give three different Mahaduras of the mitzvahs? Was the third Mahadura more complete than the first two? So that's a discussion in the Tanakh. But the Chumash has this. So, at the time of Maimon HaSinai, the Sefer HaBris only consists of the Sefer Torah from Bereshis till the end of Mishpatim. At the end of the Abayim Shana, Rashi and Chumash points at the end of Dvarim, Sefer HaBris was the Chamish Shulchan Torah, as we know it today. That's called the Sefer HaBris. So the question is, whenever we're Mekabel Ager, we learn out all the dinim of Gerus from Maimon HaSinai, so why don't we require the day that we're Mekabel Ager? He goes to the mikveh, we tell him he has to put on tefillin, he has to say all the Brichas HaShachar, he has to say Asher Yotzar, probably went to the bathroom in the morning, and he has to start saying Brachas now when he eats food and so on. Why don't we take out a Sefer Torah and lane, after lane from the Sefer HaBris? So apparently the answer seems to be the Krisis Bris was made with Klal Yisrael as a nation. So when there's Kabbalah Satorah by the whole nation, then you need Kriya Satorah from a Sefer HaBris. But if it's only a Kabbalah Satorah by an individual person, then you just need Nasa ben Ishma, you need Kabbalah on Mitzvah, you need Mila, you need Tefillah in the Mikveh, you need the Korban. On the occasion of Maim Hasim is Kabbalah Satorah by the whole Tzibur, that's why you needed the Kriya Satorah and the Sefer HaBris. So the Chazal comment on the occasion of Nes Purim, it was Kima v'Kiblu, the Pasuk says. What does it mean, Kima v'Kiblu? Kima mashi Kiblu kvar. The Chazal saw on the word Kiblu an allusion to Kabbalah Satorah. So there was a second Kabbalah Satorah. The first Kabbalah Satorah was Har Sinai. The second Kabbalah Satorah was in the days of Purim. So on the occasion, because there was a Kabbalah Satorah, Yudei HaTzibur, on that occasion, not just Yechidim. The whole Tzibur is Mekabel the Torah all over again. But that's why there was a need for a new Sefer HaBris. So the new Sefer HaBris was the Megillah Esther. That's what the Gemara comments, that the Megillah Esther says, Dibre Shalom V'Emes, in the Megillah it says, the Megillah Esther that was written by Mordechai and Esther is Dibre Shalom V'Emes. The Gemara says, Tamito Shal Torah. So Rashi learns, it's like the real Mekoy, that just like the Sefer Torah, Hamishel Chum Shetor is the Sefer HaBris, by the first Bris in Har Sinai, so Megillah Esther is the Sefer HaBris, by the second Kabbalah Sater. So it's interesting, the Gemara has it in, if you're laying the Megillah with Tzibur, you have a Megillah Haksuvah Ben Haksuvim. Some shuls have this, they have all the Chamish Megillahs together on one big cloth. You have Megillahs Rus and Eicha and Esther and Sher Shirm and Kohelis, all on one cloth. So the Gemara says, only Megillah Esther is Sefer HaBris. The other Megillahs are not Sefer HaBris. So there's a din of Yesa Kinotl, the Rambam says. Since it's sewn together, Megillah says, they're stitched together with the others, and the others do not have the status of a Sefer HaBris, so it pulls down the level of significance of Megillah Esther, and it no longer has the status of Sefer HaBris, because Yesa Kinotl Domi. It's attached together, the same stitching is attached together with other Megillahs, other Sefer Ksuvim, but are not the Sefer HaBris. So the Rambam writes that, so the Gemara says, the Yochid, it's okay. Mikra Megillah, Shaloi Basorah, if you don't have a minion, someone is sick in the hospital, someone's laying in the Megillah. So you can read from Megillah HaKsuvah Ben HaKsuvah. You don't need a Sefer HaBris, because the Kriya's Bris was made with the Tzibur, wasn't made with the Yochid. But if you've got a laying with Tzibur, then you have to have a Sefer HaBris, and Megillah HaKsuvah Ben HaKsuvah is not acceptable. So the Turi Evin, the Shagasai writes, let all the people be Yotze like Yechidim. So he says, there are Yotze like Yechidim, but they're not Yotze the Kriya B'Tzibur. You can't say the Brocha Rabbis Rivenim. The Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, he only said the Brocha after Kriya Samegillah, Rabbis Rivenim, if you lame B'Tzibur. Lame B'Tzibur is the Torah, the Kabbalah, the Torah was all you need, HaTzibur. So then they made a Takana to have a Brocha after the laying also. So the Rambam has such a din when you get to the Sefer Torah also. The Rambam, there's a machlokes in Bava Basra towards the end of the first parak around Daf Yud Dalet or so. Is it permissible to have Bikri Chachas Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim? So one Tana says, not allowed. Why is it not allowed? He doesn't explain. We paskin, it is permissible to have stitched together Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim. So the Rambam says, however, it doesn't have the status of a Sefer Torah. You can't lay the tzibur from it. As a status like a chumash. Let's say this week is going to be Parshas Mishpatim. So if you have a klap that only has Parshas Mishpatim, that's called Kriya Bal Peh. If you have less than a Sefer Shalom, that's not called Kriya Meter Chaksav, that's called Kriya Bal Peh. If you have a Sefer Shalom Shmos, so that's Kriya Meter Chaksav, but the bris was made, but you need a Sefer HaBris when you're laying the tzibur. Because the bris of the Torah was made with the tzibur, Klali Sos, and Gemara said, they cover that tzibur, if you're laying in Kriya Sotar, but tzibur, it's not enough that you have Kriya Meter Chaksav. You want the Kriya should be from the Sefer Bris, so you have to have all the Chamishul Chamshetar together. So the Rama writes, what if you have Chamishul Chamshetar together with Nevi'im Uksuvim? We paskin it's permissible. So the Rama says, yes, you cannot hold on it. Just like the Megillah Esther, Ksuvah ben Aksuvim, if it's stitched together with Rus and Kohelis and Echa, it pulls down the level of this Megillah Esther, doesn't have the status of the Sefer HaBris. So too, you have the Chamishul Chamshetar, which is the original Sefer HaBris, stitched together with Nevi'im Aksuvim, which are not Sefer HaBris, that's going to pull that. It's also going to be Yesek and Atal Domi. So you can't lane Kriya Sotar in that. That's like laning from a Chumash, Shmos. from a sefer, a klaf, Shmos, it's a sefer sholem, it's kriya mitoch aksav. If you learn from a printed chumash, that's called kriya balpe. If you learn from just a klaf that only has parshas and mishpatim, that's called kriya balpe. If you learn from a chumash Shmos that's written on klaf, and ksav ashuris, that's called kriya mitoch aksav, but it's not from a sefer bris. So the Gemara says, I'm in a kovar atzibur, because the bris was made with the tzibur. Has to be from a sefer abris. If you're going to have neviim ksuvim together with the sefer Torah, neviim ksuvim are not sefer abris, except for Megillas Esther. So that pulls down the level of the kedusha of the sefer Torah. So that's interesting. That's probably the reason why Rav Meir holds you're not allowed to put together b'kvicha achas Torah neviim ksuvim, because you're going to have chamish al chamshet Torah. It's only going to have the status of neviim ksuvim. It won't have the status of a sefer abris, because it's going to be yesek and upal domi. The neviim ksuvim are not a sefer abris, it pulls down the level of the sefer Torah. So the Rama has the same din by both. Interesting. So that part of the Maimon Hasina that they learn from the sefer abris, and apparently the Chazal understood that's only when you have a Kabbalah Satorah Idei Atzibur. So that was necessary one other time in the course of history, on the occasion of Nes Purim. They had to write another sefer abris. That's Megillas Esther. That's what Amar calls it. Dirishon lemehemus kamitun shel Torah, like the real McCoy. And Rashi learns the real McCoy is sefer Torah. Just like sefer Torah is the sefer abris, so to Megillas Esther was the sefer abris at that time. Okay, so we left off in the middle of a paragraph. We left off in the middle of this discussion, the difference, but Bilinera will have to pick up next week, the difference between collecting sheep and the chosim from a lakeach, collecting from the assignment. To collect from the lakeach, you have to have shiva chosim. To collect from the assignment, I says, we treat it as if there's a shiva raguf. As if the rabban and mitzvah, the assignment, for chavis aviyem, makes it that you collect from them, you don't need a shiva chosim. We'll have to finish off with the acne. I says, okay.
Rebbe, how does the kimu kibul compare to kopalem hakagigis, Baba Har Sinai?
Right, the Gemara says, why was there a need for another Kabbalah Satorah and Kim of the Kimlu? Because the original Kabbalah Satorah was Bal Karcham, so that's why there was a need for the second Kabbalah Satorah. And the Medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Noach, explains Tosfos on that daf in Shabbos Pei Zayin. Tosfos asks the Kasha, why did the Rebbe Shlom have to be Kofalem Har Kegigas? But I still said,
Rebbe, we lost your volume. No, still lost your volume.
Might be muted.
It is muted.
It looks like it's muted.
Okay, let me see.
Yeah, you can see it's muted.
Okay, let me see if anybody can unmute. Give me a second.
I sent Rebbe a message to unmute. Rebbe has to click on it. Is Rebbe able to do that?
Can you unmute?
Yeah, Rebbe has to click on it, though.
You can't do it? You can't do it yourself?
No, it only sends a message. Is Rebbe able to click on it? Is it not working?
Whoever is the host should be able to do it.
Oh, well. All right. Next time, I talk about to ask a question, too. Okay. Yeah, well, you can't do it?
It only sends a message to allow Rebbe to unmute, but he has to click on it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It seems like it's not working on Rebbe's end. Yeah.
Okay. Shkoach. I think that's it.
Okay.
Okay, that's it. Yeah, we'll end it.